All right. Thank you, Alexandra. Beautiful worship tonight again. I'm just blessed by that. Such a great reminder is we need Jesus. We need his provision. And guess what I'm teaching on? Provision. We're going to be in Exodus chapter 16. Has everyone got your Bibles? You're going to need a Bible. So if you want to grab a Bible, does anyone need a Bible? Raise your hand. We can get you one. Anyone need a Bible? All right. Y'all brought them? Perfect. Perfect. All right. So we're going to kind of jump right into the passages today because the review is kind of part of it. And we're going to cover a lot of verses. But I think it's going to work out great. So Exodus chapter 16, we're just going to start with the first verse and then go from there. Exodus chapter 16. Then the whole community of Israel set out for Elim and journeyed into the wilderness of Sin. That's a place, by the way. Before Elim and Mount Sinai, they arrived there on the 15th day of the second month, 1 month after leaving the land of Egypt. We'll just stop right there to start. So this is kind of how our review works a little bit. We remember from last week that Israel had been set free from slavery. Remember? The Red Sea had been parted. They had been set free from Egypt. Miraculous miracle had taken place as he parted the sea. He then dried the ground for them to able to pass. They passed through, and then their enemies were swallowed up by the sea as they went to pursue them. Remember, there was a song, a time of praise that took place that we saw last week. It was an amazing chapter, and we talked about how we worship in a song of praise. It was actually, if we look back, I think it says it was a song of deliverance, wasn't it? A song of deliverance. Now, what happened after they were delivered miraculously? They praised God, and then what happened? We remember? They begin to complain. As soon as they started to face a little bit of hardship, they begin to complain. Only 3 days. But they did have a real problem. They had no water. So, I mean, that's a legitimate complaint. But then we read that God did provide, and what he said this would test their faith and instructed them then to listen carefully to the voice of God and remember him in his provision. Remember, Israel had just seen God provide water after 3 days. And then what happened after that? They were placed in the oasis. Remember the palm trees and all the wells? So right away. So this leads us to our verses today. And 1 month has passed. 30 days. We're given all these timelines. It's kind of fun, right? First we had 3 days. Now we have 1 month. So let's see what's going to happen after the whole community is there. Let's look at, well, I already read it, but we'll read again, 2 and 3. There too, the whole community of Israel complained about Moses and Aaron. If only the Lord had killed us back in Egypt, they moaned. We sat around pots filled with meat and ate all the bread we wanted. But now, you have brought us into this wilderness to starve us all to death. Only 1 month have passed, and what's happening? Wah, 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 wah. Complain, complain. Wah, wah, wah. Only 1 month after being freed for how many hundreds and hundreds of years? They've been complaining. How are we going to eat? Now, okay, that is again a real concern, right? We'll have plenty of food tonight, but it was 30 days now. Now, how many days can we live without water, do they say? 3. Isn't it interesting? How many days was it when God provided the water? 3. right where they were on the verge maybe of having a real problem. Now we see, how many days can you survive without food, they say, roughly? 30 days. It's kind of a general number, but they say it's 30 days, roughly. So how many days is it now that they are starting to complain because they don't have food? 30 days. Now, I assume they had brought in some supplies with them. But I think it's a point already starting to be made that they were no longer able to rely upon themselves and were at a point now of 30 days that they actually were in desperate need. You know, I thought about this and I wonder, how often does this happen in each of our own walk? I mean, does God often provide for us each everything we need beforehand? Or often, for me, I can say, I'm driven to faith, to my knees, to pray, to trust Him, and then He provides always in the right timing. These people would have their needs provided for, but we noticed when He provided for them just when they needed it most. I think that's often true for us. You know, I personally, in looking at my own needs and my family, I've never, like, received all the provision I need for an entire year. And then just to be able to sit back and go, I'm taken care of. Life has not worked that way for me. Maybe some of you are blessed, but for me, every month, and this church is the same, every month for us, we count on God's provision. And we have no idea what's going to happen next month. And if God doesn't provide, the rent will not be paid. It's the same way in my own life. God always has provided year after year after year after year after year. But always, for me, He has me live by faith to rely upon Him. And that's what I see here. He wants us to rely upon Him to provide for our needs. Now, some of us have retired or we have school teacher jobs. That's fine. But the example I do see is that His provision is what we need to look for and not trust ourselves. Now, our nature is we always try to look to our own will to provide. Often. Whenever I'm in need, I'm like, what can I do to solve this problem? Whatever problem I got, what can I do to solve this problem? Well, He took them to the point that they knew they couldn't solve their problem. And they were reliant upon Him. Now, let's see here. Let's look at verse 3 again. I want to look at it again. If the Lord had killed us back in Egypt, they moaned. They sat around there. We sat around pots filled with meat and ate all the bread we wanted. But now you brought us into this wilderness to starve us all to death. Drama, drama, drama from these people. Isn't it? A lot of drama. Looking back in the past. You ever look back in your past? You ever look back at it with a distorted view? Like, often I see that, especially when we move, many of us, to a foreign place. We look back and we think it was so good. Or how good it would be if we returned to that place that we're from in the past. Often we look at our past through, we could say, rose-colored glasses at times. But I want to tell you something. As we do this, the truth often is the past wasn't necessarily as good as we think it would be. The past will never be our future. Our past will never be our future. I've seen that with my kids when we moved into the mission field. They thought back, you know, like, oh, back in the U.S., we had all these things, and we had all this, and we had the different food, and we had friends, and we had this, right? And that's what they compared their hopes for the future for. Now, they went back, and God's blessed them when they've been back, but you know what? It's not the same. It's different. It's not the same as the past. So we need to be careful about that. There's often, we think we can go back in thinking, if we go back, it'd be like it was. But interesting, we can't live in the past, can we? What else do we do? We saw these people do something else. What else did they do? They looked to tomorrow. They looked to the future. Oh, what's going to happen? They said, we're going to starve to death. You ever said that? Looking at your current situation, look towards the future. We're going to starve to death. We always say that in American English. I'm starving. We're not really starving. Now, here's my question as we get into today's passages. Everyone here, every person here, ask this question. Has God provided for every single need that you have right now in this moment? Has God provided for every single need that you have right now today in this moment? Yes. The answer is yes for everyone here. I see you all have clothing, praise the Lord. You're all clothed. That's a need, right? That's a need. You're all clothed. I know you have food because it's in the kitchen. And we ordered some more just in case. So you have food. And I don't think you were that hungry when you came in. Maybe some of you. You have shelter, all of you. Right? Everyone here? You have a place to live? You're here, you have fellowship. Right? You have a family. You have fellowship. And you know what else we have, the need that we have that God's provided? It's a promise. He gives us his promise that Jesus will never, ever leave any of us or forsake any of us. So everyone sitting here today, God has provided for every single way in your life as you sit here. Now, if you want to go ahead and look at tomorrow, probably you could start wondering if you're going to be starving. But right now, as always, God has provided every single thing that you need. That's where we need to be. So what do we have to complain about right now? Any situation? Where does God have you right now today? Nothing to complain about. All your needs are met, surrounded by people you love. Let's look at verses 4 and 5. Then the Lord said to Moses, look, I'm going to rain down food from heaven for you. Each day the people can go out and pick up as much food as they need for that day. I will test them in this to see whether or not they will follow my instructions. On the sixth day when they gather food and when they prepare it, there will be twice as much as usual. So we see God was providing for his people in an amazing way. But as God provided for his people, as he provides for each one of us, what we see as he provides, there still was a dependence to always remain faithful to him daily. In his provision, we need to come and rely upon him daily. But daily, we all have everything we need, just as these people had every single thing they needed. Everything would be provided each day. Even in this provision, he even gives them the Sabbath, a day to rest. I find that really amazing for all of us. So let's look 6 through 8. So Moses and Aaron said to all the people of Israel, by evening you will realize it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. In the morning you will see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your complaints, which are against him, not us. What have we done that you should complain about? Then Moses added, the Lord will give you meat to eat in the evening and bread to satisfy you in the morning, for he has heard all your complaints against him. What have we done? Yes, your complaints are against the Lord, not against us. The people would know. They would know it was God who had provided. Just as he provides for each one of us today, we would know that it's God who provides for us. Have you ever complained about how you've been provided for? I got two hands. Have you ever complained about the provision that you've been given? Maybe you like great, I'm glad you provided for this, Lord, but what am I going to do next week? Great, thank you, Lord, for providing this car, but I'd really like a car that ran a little better. Great, Lord, I'm glad you provided this, but have you ever complained for the provision that God has given you? I have. But I'm glad you provided, but, you know, it's not really how or what I thought this would look like. Who are we complaining to when we complain? We're complaining to God and the gifts that He's given us. The one that has truly provided for each and every one of us. Again, we see in this picture that God was displaying to the people, to us, that He is the one, and that through this He has brought, what He says, bread from heaven down for them. Showing His glory for His people, showing His glory for each one of us every single day. God, give us our daily bread. Maybe that sounds familiar, a prayer we've heard, the Lord's Prayer. The prayer is simple. Give us the provisions that we need each and every day. Each and every day. The Lord will provide for each and every one of us each day. And then what's amazing, as I see here, is at the end of the day, as God has still given us all we need, we know that we can look at the end of our day and see that, know that we had been provided for. When we wake up, we can wake up with a promise that God is going to take care of us. When we lay our heads down on our pillow at night, we can give thanks and know that He's taken care of and that tomorrow He also will take care of us. Let's continue, 9 through 12. Then Moses said to Aaron, announce this to the entire community of Israel. Present yourselves before the Lord, for He has heard your complaining. And as Aaron spoke to the whole community of Israel, they looked out toward the wilderness. There they could see an awesome glory of the Lord in the cloud. Then the Lord said to Moses, I've heard the Israelites' complaints. Now tell them, in the evening you will have meat to eat, in the morning you will have all the bread you want. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God. I think I skipped a part there, but we'll catch up. So what we see here is that people are going to witness who God is. They're going to be a witness to His provision. And through this witness, through this testimony that He's going to provide for them, they will know that He is, I am your Lord, your God. And I think each of us can look at our lives and see the same. We should see the same. We should have no mistake in our lives in knowing who our provider is. And I like this verse. It's pretty cool. I think that we see that they saw in the cloud, right? You look at that verse. Where is it here? They could see, it's in verse 10. They could see the awesome glory of the Lord in the cloud. They saw the Lord. The Lord would provide for them. You know what we're going to see one day? We're going to see Jesus in the cloud coming for each and every one of us. There'll be a day, and He will provide each and every day for us until that day. But one day, we're going to look up, and we're going to see Jesus in the cloud. I think it's a beautiful picture. Let's see verse 13 and 14. That evening, vast numbers of quail flew in and covered the camp. And the next morning, the area around the camp was wet with dew. When the dew evaporated, a flaky substance as fine as frost blanketed the ground. We'll stop there. So God has now provided substance. He's provided two different kinds of food. Now, is everyone here familiar with a quail? You know what a quail is? I know that in Asia we eat a lot of quail eggs, the little eggs. Now, that comes from the little bird, right? Now, where I'm from, in Nevada, in the U.S., there's a lot of quail. They got the little, I don't know here, but they have the little thing on the head, little feather. They have that, quail, yeah. So, you ready for this? I like to hunt quail. I knew some of you would go, So, I would grab my dog. I had a dog, and we would start go out to the sagebrush in the high desert, and we'd walk through all the brush, and as you walk through all the different brush and the dog's running around, all of a sudden you'd hear this flush. Like, I don't know how to make that sound of the birds flying. You know, they would, you hear it before you'd even see them. And all of a sudden, all these birds would start flying up because they're in these cubbies. You know, there's probably at least 10 of them, 12 of them around. I'd pull up my shotgun and take a shot and try to knock a few of them down. And they're fast. Quail are really fast, and they're hard to hit. And I think this story in Exodus, when we read about all these quail coming in, I don't know how God supernaturally allowed them to get them. Maybe they had traps. We don't know how God did it, but he provided a way, obviously. But what I see here is I think it's the first record that we see fast food delivered. Good. A few of you got that. That's fast food delivered. The quail was delivered right to their door. Fast food. Now, the other part was this manta. They're not calling it yet, but we want to turn over to Numbers 11:8 to read about more what this is, this white substance they're talking about. In Numbers 11:8, it talks about it. Numbers 11:8. The people would go out and gather it from the ground. They made flour by grinding it with their hand mills or pounding it with mortars. We're familiar with that here. Then they boiled it in a pot and made it into flat cakes. These cakes tasted like pastries baked with olive oil. What does that sound like? What's a pastry that's baked and fried in oil? Anyone? What's a flour pastry that's put into a cake and then fried in oil? What's it sound like? It's like donuts. Doesn't it? God gave them donuts? What I read. Sounds good. God truly knows how to provide for us, doesn't he? I think they use this for many different purposes, obviously, to make different ways. But when you talk about a fried bread, I think of a donut. We just experienced the donuts they sell on the street. They're pretty good. 20 baht, you get like 4 or 5 of them. They're quite good on the streets here. So what I did notice, though, being a little bit funny, I think actually it was like a type of fried bread. It was, but not necessarily a donut, but similar. What I do see, though, in the passage is that God gave them a part, and he gave us a part. He didn't just dump it on their kitchen table. When he provides for us, often, we have a part. You know, a lot of people, especially when I was in the U.S., and I was there, and I worked, and I had a job, and I had a company, people would come up to me, I need food. I'm hungry. I mean, I'm never going to let anyone go hungry, but they weren't really starving. But they always come up to me and like say, and I said, okay, well, I got a job for you. I said, you go work all day and I'll make sure and take you to the grocery store and buy you a couple $100 in groceries if it's what we need, or give you some money and we'll make sure that you're provided for. I'll make sure of that. And so if they really had a need to be provided for, that I could provide that through them working. And I see this model here. God provided every single thing that people needed, every single thing that we need. But that doesn't mean it just falls on our lap. He required the people to get up in the morning, to go out daily, collect it, and make it. There was a responsibility. There was work involved. But if they would work and they would follow the instructions, everything they need was there. So simple, right? Follow the instructions, do a little work, you and your family are provided for. Sounds like a life lesson for all of us, right? Well, life is usually not always that simple, is it? We don't always, yeah. Let's see verse 15. It says, the Israelites were puzzled when they saw it. What is it? They asked each other. They had no idea what it was. This substance didn't make sense. This wasn't how or what they expected from God to provide for them. You know, how often when God provides, well, God always provides, right? We know that, amen? God always provides. But how often is it done in the exact way that we think it should be done? How often is it done? Very rare. I want to share a quick story. You guys know that we're part of the CBI, Calvary Bible Institute. It's a Bible college in Dumaguete in the Philippines. We have four Myanmar students there right now. And they went there in faith with us that on scholarship, basically. We here at Refuge have been able to give a little bit of money. But he called me up and he's like, Aaron, I just need you to pray, the director. And he says, you know, it cost this much money each month to feed each one of them. And then this much basically for like electricity and whatnot. And it's about $200 a person. You know, $120 a month for food and this and that. And he says, we're just, we said we'd scholarship them. That's fine. But it's like, or the problem is, it's actually costing us money. Like, you know, it's not just the teachers teaching in the Bible college, but the problem is just what they're eating is costing them money. And I was like, well, let's pray about that. And maybe I'll send it out in my newsletter and see what we can do. And I didn't have any solution. I definitely don't have the finances to do help any which way myself. And I prayed about it. And I've been praying about it. It's on the prayer list on the Echo prayer chat. You know, pray for them for provision for these four students. And, you know, I just had no idea. I didn't have anyone to call. I'm like, I don't know what to do. I mean, I felt really bad. Like, I mean, I sent these four students there, and they're eating them out of house and home. And I don't have a way to provide. I don't have a way. I don't know what to do. I mean, the church sends a little bit of money, but it didn't even cover what they were eating. I just prayed, and then we got this text from a friend. And he's like, oh, next year I need to give some money away because I don't want to get taxed on it. And I said, oh. And he paid for all four of them students for the next 2 years. Everything. I never reached out to anyone. The Holy Spirit knew there was a need, reached out to him, and had this planned 25 years ago. That he'd put this money in this account. 25 years later, these kids would need this, and he took care of it. And I think that's what we see here. God's provision is always there. And it's amazing because I didn't know what to do. But God took care of it all. And that's often how it works. I never, ever, ever would have imagined that's how God would have done that. But God works. He always takes care of his children. Let's look at 16 through 19. These are the Lord's instructions. Each household should gather as much as it needs. Pick up 2 quarts for each person in your tent. So the people of Israel did as they were told. Some gathered a lot, some only a little. But when they measured it out, everyone had just enough. Those who gathered a lot had nothing left over. Those who gathered only a little had enough. Each family had just what it needed. Amazing. Each person, each family would have to work, right? They had to work to provide, but God had given them everything they needed. But they needed to get up each day, right? They had to get up each day. They had to go out and gather up and receive what God had blessed them with. You understand how that works? God had provided every single thing they needed, but they had to get up each and every day in obedience, go out, gather it up, and receive what God had given them. They didn't just sit there and receive the blessings. They had to take part. 20 to 21. Or 16 through 19 is here. 19, thank you. Then Moses told them, do not keep any of it till the morning. But some of them did not listen and kept it until the morning. Uh-oh. But by then it was full of maggots and had a terrible smell. Moses was very angry with them. After this, the people gathered the food morning by morning, each family according to its need. And as the sun became hot, the flakes that had not been picked up melted and disappeared. Now, I don't know that many of you know who Forrest Gump is. Anyone else here heard of Forrest Gump? Just the Americans? Just the Americans. Well, you'll like his saying, all right? You'll like his saying. He said, stupid is, stupid does. Stupid is, stupid does. Now I'll give you another quote. Maybe, I think some of you might know John Wayne. Nobody. Nobody knows who John Wayne is? Wow, he is the all-iconic American cowboy. If you look up the picture of cowboy, it's his picture. Right? He is like the poster boy for American cowboy. He is the toughest cowboy. I mean, a movie star. He was straight. The guy talked just straight to you. He had a big old voice. Guy was just, you know, American icon, right? He's been dead a long time now. But John Wayne, he had a saying. And I read this in a commentary I was reading. He said, life is hard. We all agree? Life is hard. But life is harder when you're stupid. Sounds funny, right? Kind of funny. But this talks about us as Christians so often. God had given his people very simple instructions. He'd given them everything they needed. All they had to do was obey his word and do what he asked. But what did we see happened? God's instructions, we try to always do things on our own, don't we? We're always trying to do our own will, do it our own way. That's what these people did. They didn't listen, it says, and they kept some until morning. And what happened? Let's read 22 through 30. On the sixth day, they gathered twice as much as usual, four quarts for each person instead of two. Then all the leaders of the community came and asked Moses for an explanation. He told them, this is what the Lord commanded. Tomorrow will be a day of complete rest, a holy Sabbath day set apart for the Lord. So bake or broil as much as you want today and set aside what's left for tomorrow. So they put some aside until morning, just as Moses had commanded. And in the morning, the leftover food was wholesome and good, without maggots or odor. Moses said, eat this food for today is a Sabbath day dedicated to the Lord. There will be no food on the ground today. You may gather the food for 6 days, but the seventh day is the Sabbath. There will be no food on the ground that day. Some of the people went out anyways on the seventh day, but they found no food. The Lord asked Moses, how long will these people refuse to obey my commands and instructions? They must realize the Sabbath is the Lord's gift to you. That is why he gives you a 2-day supply on the sixth day, so there'll be enough for the 2 days. On the Sabbath day, you must each stay in your place. Do not go out and pick up food on the seventh day. So the people did not gather any food on the seventh day. This goes back to my statement. God had all of this worked out to bless his people. God has all this worked out to bless each one here, right? To provide for everyone here. But he gave instructions. But the people didn't always listen. Life is much harder for all of us when we don't follow God's instructions, right? Life is harder on us when we don't follow God's instructions. Let's finish up, 31 through 36. The Israelites called the food manna. It was white like coriander seed. It tasted like honey wafers. Then Moses said, this is what the Lord has commanded. Fill a 2-quart container with manna to preserve it for your descendants. Then later generations will be able to see the food I gave you in the wilderness, when I set you free from Egypt. Moses said to Aaron, get a jar and fill it with 2 quarts of manna. Then they put it in the sacred place before the Lord to preserve it for all future generations. Aaron did just as the Lord had commanded Moses. He eventually placed it in the Ark of the Covenant in front of the stone tablets inscribed with the terms of the covenant. So the people of Israel ate manna for 40 years until they arrived at the land they would settle. They ate manna until they came to the border of the land of Canaan. The container used to measure the manna was an omer, which was 1/10 of ephah, which held about 2 quarts. So we actually stopped the chapter right there, right? So we see that God provides daily. God provides continually for each and every one of us. But I see a parallel, an amazing parallel. Do you have your Bibles? Turn to the New Testament, John chapter 6. John chapter 6. This is amazing. John chapter 6. We're going to look at verse 32. John chapter 6, verse 32 and 33. Jesus said, I tell you the truth. Moses didn't give you bread from heaven. My Father did. And now he offers you the true bread from heaven. Verse 33, we'll look at 2. The true bread of God is the one who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Now, for a little context, Jesus had just fed the 5,000. Right? We all are familiar with that story. And do we remember most of the people's reaction afterwards? Some of the people's, anyways. Remember their reaction? They wanted more. Right? They wanted more food. They wanted more free stuff. They were lazy. But we see here that Jesus very clearly states that true bread, manna, comes from God, not man. And what he states is a very deep truth for all of us. A very deep spiritual truth that we see all the way back in Exodus and now here in John chapter 6. That in John it says, Jesus is the bread. And we each, every one of us, need to eat daily. He set this up in Exodus. Now we're reading from his words in John. Or is it his words? Jesus said, yes, that he is the bread. And just as then, each and every day, we need to eat the manna. We need to have the bread of life. We need to receive what has been given us. We need to receive the provision that he has for each and every one of us daily. I think it's a beautiful picture. Because what you ate yesterday isn't probably going to help you much today, is it? You need to eat today to be healthy. If you're worried about what you're going to eat tomorrow, that's all you're going to be thinking about. You're not going to be satisfied with what you've been given today. If you're thinking about what you're going to eat tomorrow, you're not going to be satisfied with what you've been given today. Do we all have needs? Yes, we all have needs. Everyone here, we all have needs. But even though we have needs, are we fearing the future? That's what they would do. We're going to starve, they said. Or maybe, as we're looking at our current situation and our current needs that we do have, maybe some of us are living in the past. When I was back here, all my needs were provided. Or are we all sitting right here today? And I asked your question. Is everything being provided for you right now? Everything is. Are we full of Jesus today? Satisfied? Full? Having been poured into through his word? Or are we living in the past or looking towards the future? That's what these people kept doing. That's what we do. You ask a person, how's it going? Usually if their answer is not great, it's because they're thinking of something in the past or worried about something in the future. It's usually not something to do with right then and there. Maybe it could happen. But if there is something right then and now, we could probably come together and help you on that. So I think we need to remember, like these people, that God will always provide. But he asks us to seek Him daily, to get up, each and every morning, just like the Israelites, right? They had to get up. They had to go out. They had to spend some time to receive what God had for them daily. We need to get up. We need to open our Bibles. We have to take the effort. It's all here. It's all there. Everything we need. But we need to spend time in it daily. Then at night, we see, we can lay our heads down in the evening and look back and know and see how God has provided for everything we needed that day. And know and rest and sleep well that our God will never leave or forsake us, and He will provide for us the next day as we wake up. It will be there, whatever we need. But again, it's like a job, right? You got to get up. You got to open up your Bibles. You got to go to church. You got to be in fellowship. It doesn't just fall on your lap. The people had a responsibility to receive what God had blessed them with daily. So let's make sure and do that. And I think it's a beautiful picture that it's Jesus that we receive each and every day. He is the bread from heaven. He is the one who sustains us. He's the one who nurtures us. He is the one who provides for us daily. So Lord, I just close in prayer, Lord, and I just ask that You would give us our daily bread, Lord, that we would seek to know that, Lord, You've promised to provide for us, Lord. And Lord, I praise and thank You, Lord, that You have provided for every single need I have today, Lord, in every single way. And Lord, I just pray, Lord, that each of us, Lord, would see this example, Lord, as these people didn't listen to Your instructions. And when they didn't listen, Lord, when they didn't spend time with You each and every day receiving what You had for them, things got rotten for them. Things went bad for them. But Lord, if we will just follow in obedience, Lord, just sit at Your feet each and every day, Lord, and receive what You have, Lord. I know, Lord, You'll continue to provide for us in every single which way. Lord, I pray for each of us. I pray for me, Lord. I would never look to the past as a reflection for today. Lord, I would stop worrying about the future and trust that once again, Lord, year after year, You provided for me each and every day. That we would just live satisfied today, full of Your Holy Spirit. Lord, that each and every day, Lord, just like the physical food, we need to eat. We need to partake. And that, Lord, we would remember that. That if we skip a day, we're going to suffer. If we skip a couple days, it's going to get worse. So, Lord, let us not skip days. Let us just be satisfied in You each and every day. Lord, please bless our food as we fellowship tonight. If anyone here does not know You, Lord, I pray Your Holy Spirit would just move and draw them to You. That each and every one of us, Lord, would just feast tonight, physically and spiritually. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. God bless you guys.